morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are truly thankful that you listen to our podcast, and we're glad that you are here with us today. You're listening to another youth ministry podcast. This podcast is a ministry of the Board of Youth and Young Adults of the Bible Fellowship Church. Another youth ministry podcast strives to refocus, recapture, and realign student ministry with a grace-filled and gospel-focused vision. So I'm one of the hosts here on this podcast, Tim Hogan, and I have with me here today, like usual, Chris Von Holt and Jared Burkholder.
That's right.
We went for last names.
That's right.
Now we're identities are out there.
Official. Now they know. They can look us up.
Find us.
Oh, man. Yeah,
pretty much anyone can be Googled today.
That's true.
So
we've already been found by Jesus.
That's right. Exactly. Amen. Thank you.
Well, we're back together. This is a late morning. We're recording this podcast. We've already done two, so we might be a little fried.
But that's okay.
I'm still going. Yeah, bring it.
That's true. That's because you said you're not really participating in it, but your family's doing like super clean eating.
I have two cups of coffee in me. I mean,
that's true.
That's a half calf.
Is that half calf?
Well, it doesn't matter. You got to realize if I'm looking at the label,
it's half calf.
If I drink coffee past 2 o'clock, I am up till like 2 or 3 a.m.
Wow. So, that must have been helpful in college.
So I didn't learn about coffee until like senior year.
Wow. 3 years wasted.
Wow.
I know, right? The benefits.
Or 3 years free, depending on the way you look
Maybe,
at it.
Maybe. That's true.
Well, we are talking today. We're continuing our conversation about youth ministry and sexuality. And I believe this will be the conclusion of this, unless we come up with something else. I don't think so for right now anyway. It can be wearisome to talk about a topic like this. As a matter of fact, actually, I think we've already talked about this, but we do have a practical tip, but just another one. And I think we mentioned this in the last episode, but in case I didn't, or you haven't listened to it, or you forgot, a practical tip in youth ministry is do not try to teach like an entire series on sexuality. And I say that from experience. It wasn't bad. A lot of students came. It was very helpful. But I think we ended up doing 11 or 12 weeks. We took all the way from September to December. And I got other speakers involved and we did some different things, Q&As. But I remember towards it, like however halfway through, the leaders agreed with me. We were like, we are tired of talking about this. Like we need to be fed with something else too.
Right.
Yep.
So what I'm doing now is I'm kind of breaking it up. So actually the next 2 weeks I'm talking about gender and sexuality. And then after that, I'm taking a break. And then by the end of the school year, we'll talk about porn once kind of thing.
And now our official practical tip of the day is monitor your screen time.
Yeah, which has to do with this issue.
Yes, it has to do with this issue. Many of our phones but have the ability to monitor what you're using, what apps you're using. Also, it has the ability to limit your time during the day, to not let you use Instagram for such a time frame or Safari or whatever the browser you use. I also want to say, in this room right now, Jared is taking a smartphone cleanse.
Sabbatical. For,
it's a two week cleanse. yes. It's a phone diet. So
he has a flip phone.
That's true. Yeah.
But no, I admire you
I bet texting you're doing a lot less.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to text my wife the other day and I just ended up calling her because I don't want to do this. It's just much more convenient to call.
I am curious. Is that a phone you had or did you actually buy that?
I bought it.
Oh my gosh. How much was it?
It was only like $60, which is compared to a smartphone, a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But it's nice also in the long run to have a backup phone if something goes wrong with my regular phone. But
I just remember that, you know, when phones were the phone, you felt pretty intelligent because you knew like, okay, it's three clicks for this letter or whatnot.
And you do it, under the desk, not looking.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. I was pretty fast with my Motorola Razr.
Ooh, yeah.
The Razr. I had one of those things. Yeah.
That was the phone. Yeah,
that was
it. No, heard of those.
I had it after it was the phone.
Yeah.
Well, I remember like students today, vibrate today is nothing. When I was in school and you were trying to text, those suckers had like an engine in them. It was like, it's like, teacher can't hear you, bro.
It was trying to shake off the table. They'd have vibrating wars when you put them on, you race it down the table.
I think vibrated in your bag.
Yeah.
It was like, what do you have in there? Good grief. But anyway, we digress.
We do.
Let's.
But track your screen time.
Yes.
That's the main takeaway.
Yeah, track your screen time and have someone keep you accountable to it.
That's right.
And encourage your students to do it. This is a youth ministry podcast. You should be encouraging your students you're helping keep accountable to monitor their screen time.
Yeah.
So, well, we're going to jump into our topic of the day, as we've already said, is pornography. And as Tim has mentioned numerous times as we've talked about this in preparation, that I don't think anyone listening to this would disagree with us that pornography is a problem, that it's sin to partake in, that it's a problem in the world. It destroys those who are not in the church, and it's a massive problem inside the church. And so we're not necessarily going to spend a whole lot of time trying to go into why porn is so wrong. We are going to talk about it a little bit when we help you and how to talk to your students about it. But we really want to kind of just jump right into how to help your young people in this issue. But before we do that, I'd like to say that we need to remember that none of us here are exempt from falling into this sin at any time. Doesn't matter if you're married or if you have children or you're 50 years old. I actually, just as a personal experience, I preached on sexual sin from our pulpit at the church. And there was a guy who was 84 years old, and he wrote me a letter and he said, "The Lord released me from this 2 years ago." Mm. And it started over 40 years ago. I think he said 45 years he was ensnared and he was 84. So at 82, he said God released him from it. So this is, you know, this is for all of us. So as we talk about this, don't have pride. Remember, it's a temptation for yourself too. So let's kind of jump in right now and talking about how to help our students.
And before we even dive into, how to help your students with pornography, how to identify it, to teach them whatnot, I wanted to start that saying that we need to remember that a big reason this exists and is such a problem is because of sin. But I want to bring back to light that the desire that we have for a woman and the desire a woman has for a man, for that desire for intimacy, that desire to see them, is God made us in the beginning in all perfection and with a wonderful design for the perfect intimacy inside of one man and one woman to desire each other. To only desire each other and no one else. That was in his design. There was that perfect beauty, the beauty of the woman, the beauty of the man, and that desire to be for them alone. And it's even hard for us to fathom that in that original design, like, man and woman they were without clothes and they were unashamed. But they enjoyed each other. And it was a blessing. And we can't even understand that because it's so corrupt in our world and sexuality is so broken because of sin. So as we begin this discussion, let's also remember that those desires, that those sometimes we get confused by them, we don't know what's going on. The desire for a man to be wanting or desiring a woman, or the woman's desire to be wanting and desiring a man, that's natural.
Yeah.
One thing that's important on that topic to be, like, a lot of what we're going to talk about is defensive, how to help them overcome this, but being proactive in teaching that and teaching and defining God's design for sex and sexuality from the forefront on a regular basis to inform the students and inform the parents to be having those conversations, that ongoing conversation. Like, you have the birds and the bees talk, but it's an ongoing conversation about sexuality and this topic.
I think any major destructive sin is a perversion of something good. I mean, God created, and I just, you know, we all probably, several of us starting new Bible plans, Genesis, and, you know, over and over, and God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good, and it was not good the man was alone, but then he brought Eve to Adam, and it was good. And so Satan is not original. He doesn't create anything at all. He simply takes what God has made and tries to flip it upside down and distort it, pervert it. I remember an old Bible thumping preacher growing up who had this thick Southern accent, this big voice. And he said he would tell his son when he was growing up, he's like, "Sit down. I want to tell you something. Sex is good. Sex is wonderful. And it was God's idea. Amen." And his point was, you know, I want to instill in my son that this is beautiful and wonderful. It's not shameful to have sexual desire. It's when we let those desires go outside the bounds that God has given us.
Right. And in our world, in our culture today, students are getting hit by this from anything from being introduced to it on social media to running into it when they're on their buses as they go and they're hanging out with their friends that are either unbelievers or are believers. Yep. They're running into it. So we need to realize that as leaders, as youth pastors, as youth leaders, we need to realize that this is going on. This is a problem in our youth ministry. So we need to know how to bring this to the surface, how to bring it to light. Also, I would say we need to be willing to. I've been in different churches in my life and around different areas. So there are sometimes the temptation just to ignore it because you're concerned about how hard or how maybe
sensitive,
or how, or you might sensitive. It might be to bring this to light, and sometimes you don't want to know the real issue. Yeah. You don't want to see it because it can be so ugly.
Yep.
But we need to be willing to help students in this way. So we need to bring it to light. Yeah. So the question is, how do you bring something that some people they just want to hide so deep? How do you bring it to light?
I think one of the things we've talked about this before is you teach on it. We talked about that in our episode we opened with on this series we're doing, is that you teach on something like this, which I have in the past, and I'm sure you guys have as well. But obviously it's not gonna be the catch all, right? I think the biggest thing is one-on-one relationships that you know, we talked about earlier in our prep. This is why we befriend students, is so that we can have these tough conversations. You don't just say, "Hey, oh, you're new to the youth group, by the way. Are you addicted to porn too, like everyone else here?" Like, that's probably not where you want to start. You know, it's you build trust with the student that they trust you and they know, hey, he's for my good. Mm. Even if he says something right now that is really, whoa, he loves me or she loves me. You know, you have, that whole sort of thing. So I think the one-on-one relationships, and don't be afraid just to ask them. Yeah. I've asked every one of the young men I've mentored over the years, hey, are you looking at pornography? Be honest with me.
Right.
You know, I think you have to go there.
Yeah, those one-on-one relationships are key. I mean, I remember having a relationship with a leader, and this was in college and in ministry there, and you can know, and he knew something in me. He saw a change, a difference, and so he didn't come out and say it, but he was able to drop some cues and some key that convicted my heart, and was able to have that conversation with him. So you can notice the change, you can notice the difference sometimes. Yeah.
Also, what's helpful, and Chris, I would love for you to read for us the way you defined pornography. It's very important to give your students a clear definition of it, because we might just define it. They might only think it's just what they watch on their phone, and they're like, oh, I don't have phone. I don't have that problem because I don't do that on my phone. Right. So,
yeah, I mean, part of helping them to fight pornography is to help them realize what pornography actually is. And yeah, I mean, the basic definition is, it's any picture, video, story, or other media that we use to sin sexually in thought and or deed against God. And that's kind of what it is at the surface level. But I think we have to help them understand what it is at the deepest level. And, some just quick roll-offs for you guys on something that I taught. Pornography is sin. It is a sin against our God. Yep. It's idolatry. It's a slap in the face of His design. It's a slap in the face of His deity, because we're dethroning Him and making that our God. But it's also a sin against our neighbor. It's the Bible makes it very clear that it's shameful to expose someone's nakedness that when they're not your spouse. The Bible is very clear that putting another human in danger is sinning against them. And a lot of, this is something that you have to inform students of when they support these pornographic sites. Even when they're quote unquote free, if they're trafficked, there's commercialism there. A lot of pornography, a lot of it is actually run through human trafficking. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these people you're seeing are slaves. Human slaves, and they're being forced in order to do it. So it's enslaving. It goes against God's design. It does not satisfy, and it will ultimately sentence you to hell if you're pursuing that, and it's an evidence you're not a Christian. It could be a sign that now, I think Christians can be ensnared for a time. I don't want to make that clear, but it's very clear that we help our students understand what pornography actually is.
Yes.
And sin against yourself. Sexual immorality is a sin against yourself.
Right.
You're not just sinning against other people, but you're harming yourself.
Yeah. So, and with that, Chris was gentle as and careful there too to say that, you know, their Christians can have struggles with this, but the difference is if they're in repentance, like that's the question. But also we say that because you also want to make sure as a youth pastor or youth leader, you don't want to shame anyone. Right. So and you don't
I think that they're already shamed.
Yeah. Right. So if you force them deeper, if you make them see as if God will never accept you if you're this person that is looking at pornography and this is the most terrible thing in the world and you are, I can't believe you're looking at stuff that is enslaving people. You're just giving money to this industry.
Right.
What do you think your guys and your girls are going to do if they're dealing with this? They're going to shut down. They're going to put it in the corner and they're going to be afraid to ever bring that to light. Yep. And it's going to just dig that sin is going to go deeper and deeper and deeper.
I think that's why it's such an issue in the church. Because it carries that shame already, but the church has already heaped more shame upon it. And so if you come out and you confess this, it's like, I can't because you're trapped by the shame.
There is a balance because it is shameful.
Yes,
but
right.
At the same time, like Jesus says in John 3:16-18, you know, that God sent his son to the world not to condemn the world because the world's already condemned.
That's right.
He came to say, I'm here to rescue you. You stand condemned. I think you come to the person with porn, you are already wallowing in shame.
That's right.
You are already feeling guilt. Your conscience may be seared even, but you're already feeling horrible. Come to Christ.
I just want to mention something too. As you look at God's word, you'll notice that sexual immorality and the issue of sexuality it's mentioned many, many times in God's word. And I just want to say this. Your Heavenly Father loves us so much that he knows that this is a big issue.
Yes, yes.
And the fact that he's willing to talk about it and to bring it up over and over again is your love for your God, our God to us, to let us know that I know this is going on, but I care about you. I love you. Come to me with this. Give it over to me. Come back to my design in this and recognize that I know and I'm here.
I mean, you have texts like, you know, when Paul says that this should not even be named once among you. It's because it's contrary to your identity. It's not who you are to be engulfed in this. So it's not necessarily God shaming you. It's him saying, you're my son. This is not become you. Mm-hmm. This is not who I made you to be. Turn away from this. So I think that's huge. That's absolutely huge.
So how do we help students battle pornography?
Yeah, that's a big one. It's kind of, well, not easy, but it can be easy to point it out and show why it's wrong. And I think battling is absolutely huge. I'll say right off the bat, one of the things that I always do with my young men who have told me they are struggling with porn is if they have a believing father, is I give them homework to tell dad. Mm. And that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's very hard. It depends on the father. I actually have one student in particular that I didn't force him to do it, but I said, I want you to pray about that just because of how he knows his dad will react, which is tough. But the parents are the primary disciplers of their children. And I think if you get them to share it with their father, or mother, that's another thing I want to point out. This is a human issue, not a guy issue. Yeah. Jared, you shared like the porn views by women has jumped like over 300%.
Yeah. And like that was in 2017. So,
So I just want to be careful. The reason I'm saying that, because I only mentor guys. So if you're mentoring young women, then have them talk to their moms. Mm-hmm. That's probably the safest bet. So that's kind of where I start. And then also I think there's teaching on it, things that you want your students to know, to understand that, you know, sometimes sins like porn grip us in ways that deeper ways than other sins do.
And I want to jump back really quick that, you know, bringing it to light that if you're doing a good job to not be shaming it, I have found too that great opportunities to just bring this up. There are moments for when you're in groups, men to men and women to women, to ask young men or young women that are willing to share their battles. It's okay to do that. I have been also seen that when I've had my male leaders in the same room with the guys, that allowing my male leaders to share their struggles and battles, and for the students to hear that their own youth leaders had fought those battles, had helped the students realize that, oh my goodness, this isn't like that you're the worst of the worst. This is just the state, our culture. It's so invasive that as Christians, we've all had we've either all seen it and got out of it quickly, or we've been in it for, we struggled with it for a while and we had to find our way out. But that helped my young men be willing to start talking about the problem. And then from there, I was able to see which, you know, start to learn which ones were willing to see it and battle it, and which ones more they shared, but they still needed salvation.
Yeah.
So anyway, so let's jump
like
back.
That's like the first place you start, really, is the gospel.
Right.
Yeah. It comes back to that.
I just wanted to give some practical ways to think in youth ministry. Like, you might be like, we said one-on-one, that's one option, but there are opportunities on conferences when you're away, winter retreats, summer trips, like where you have these moments with small groups where you can sense that people are vulnerable. They're ready to talk about the deeper things that are going in their lives. And that could be those moments, and make sure you look for them as a youth leader. So jumping back, we said for how to help our students, we said we're talking about one-on-one. That was a big part, that being willing to then, if you start to identify that the student is struggling, that you can maybe form a mentorship where you say, we're going to start meeting, whether that's weekly or biweekly, and we're going to start talking about this. And I know Chris has shared of his moments of walking with students. I have walked with students. Jared, I'm assuming you have also walked with students. Mm-hmm. I never asked you, but...
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, I haven't had that. Too many come forward. Obviously, maybe that be obviously it's not out of ignorance that they're not struggling with it, but the opportunities haven't presented themselves. But right. Yeah, and I think walking with them in that mentorship and realizing and being aware that there might be something deeper, right? We talked about the psychological, there's a lot of psychological factors that are at play in this, and sometimes they go way beyond our means of being able to help or our, in a sense, a pay grade. And so being open. And having those conversations with referring to counseling, like we've mentioned Harvest before, and even local counseling.
What we're not saying is that we're not saying the Bible is not sufficient. Okay, we're saying is that sometimes people need some serious, intervention because porn is like a drug. I mean, they've showed brain scans of people addicted to like heroin and pornography, and it's very similar. Realities of what happens even in the brain at a biological level.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so serious. Mm-hmm. Cause it can become an addiction just like anything can.
Yeah.
And it's just so destructive. I actually want to, before we jump into talking about some of the, you know, ways of, or things you can say, remind students of, truths we can give them. I want to talk about some of the practical ways as we engage students, just some kind of rules, guidelines to go by. We mentioned small groups. Like, for example, when we did this, big rule is that you should split guys and girls.
Yep.
Split them up. You should, what I did was I committed to having my teaching prep done early, and then I passed that on to two women. There were youth leaders to give them, and they can make it their own, but just to give them some content.
Yeah.
And then I had them volunteer and scheduled, and we always broke off just so that guys could be open and girls not looking at them weird and vice versa. I think there's probably more shame in this in girls because, you know, it's amazing how many girls are told or treated like they're unique in struggling with this. And that's just not true. So I think separating guys and girls is massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And additionally, we're just talking about ways to help them. Another one is there are groups out there that they're not always, they usually have ages on them, but there's groups like Conquer Series. I believe the other one's called the Seven Pillars. We can try to put those resources in, but finding groups, the accountability groups that dig deeper into the issue, that talk about the psychology, that talk about the chemical things that are going on, can help the students, that also have journaling and homework and help create accountability within those groups. That's a great place for students to end up. But another one that as we were talking about this before we got going, that we believe is another way to help them is to battle it, many times you do need to learn why. Why is it that I'm viewing pornography? What is it about me that I'm drawn to it? What is it that I'm looking for? So, Chris, you had a wonderful list that I think it would be helpful for those that are listening right now to hear.
Yeah. No, there's several reasons why people typically look at pornography. There are some women, believe, you know, that I've talked to who look at it, and it's not because they're like lusting after the way the guy looks per se. So it's not just simple lust. That's certainly involved, but it's not, you know, guys, most of us, you know, are built, we understand, you know, we're just drawn to it. But some of those reasons are coveting a body image. You know, you almost vicariously put yourself in one of the two parties involved, sometimes more, unfortunately. It could be a place of refuge where it's just a place of ecstasy. So your life is not going well. Things are coming up, stresses, and this is a place that you just see people just having pure quote unquote pleasure. A lot of it's acting, just so you know. A lot of the you know, ways they act while they're involved, it's very painful. Some of it's imitation intimacy, I call it. It's their longing to be close to someone. They feel alone. And so they, again, vicariously put themselves into the place of one of the parties and view it as the other party doing that to them or talking to them that way or treating them that way. And it's, you know, every teenage boy, for the most part, most would want a girl talking to him that way or whatever in their flesh. Some of it's a validation of gender. You know, I look at this because I'm a man, and this is this is almost an entrance into manhood, which is a lie. Some of it's a validation of vicarious of body. You know, or validation of your body, you know, oh, I look like that, or a way to find, oh, you know, she looks like that, so I should try to make myself look like that. And at the bottom line, it is idolatry. You know, God is not trusted to satisfy your soul, to protect your soul, and God's not worshiped. You know, his creature rather than him as a creator, as Romans 1 puts it, is worshiped. So those are some of the big overall reasons, and you really need to have a conversation with a student and try to draw out why. Why are they looking at it? Because good counseling gets to the heart issue, the root issue. Mm-hmm. Is it insecurity? Is it an escape? Right. Is it simply a lust? What's going on?
And it keep that list, like, that's just, Chris just has some down. That's not, that list can keep growing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It can go all the way down to something that went on with your parents, abuse in the household. Yep. So we just want to make sure
sexual
you know
abuse.
That
absolutely.
We are not we are not experts.
No.
We are just here, youth leaders are saying, we need to do something. We have learned a little bit and we've grown, and we're going to continue to grow in this because we need to continue to go after this and help our students, but then even as moving in life, we'll help fellow adults, fellow leaders battle against this.
We are experts at not being experts.
That's right.
Well, I think it's important talking about why, because every sin has a why behind it. Like, we're always looking for something. Like, we lie because we're insecure. So I think that's as critical on any level, but I think it's especially critical on this level.
Right. And especially as you get the why, it helps you to start to know when you might find temptation to come. Mm-hmm. Or you can get ready and you can be equipped to fight against the thing that's coming next.
Or you could remove yourself from that temptation. So you're not putting yourself in that position to be tempted.
Earlier, we mentioned that if you start learning that, you start working with a student, you realize it's going beyond your abilities. I remember Harvest USA is near Philadelphia, and they've been a great help to Chris. And additionally, I was at a little conference that they held at my church to help us to know, like, how to create small groups. And I just remember them talking about that. I'm talking a lot about the why, and that the why is a major help for you to be able to be ready. That they talked about that if you can learn the why, you might learn that on Monday something happens where you get all upset and depressed, and you can then identify that if it was the depression or for that need for dopamine, that you might realize that it might come a day or two later that you're going to find temptation is going to come. So that was kind of like mind.
And again, this is not excusing our sin. This is simply helping us be smarter in the battle against sin.
Yeah. Right.
So we can identify when our heart is more tempted to go after idols because of the circumstances that we are in. And so I think that's, you know, knowledge is power in every sphere. I do want to talk about just truths that we want our students to know, that we should know for ourselves if we're ever tempted to jump into that, and just kind of, you know, what do we say
to a student, right? So we have a chance to sit down. They've been vulnerable. They've told us they're addicted to pornography. And again, that's another thing you want to ask is how bad is this? You know, I've had that conversation. You know, I remember one student, I'm addicted to pornography, and is like, and granted, they were sinning, but it was like they were like looking at pictures that, you know, the world would laugh at if you called porn. I'm not going to try to downplay it, but it was not how we would typically think of porn. Then another student, no, I'm addicted to porn. And then as we dug, it was like, okay, wow, you were into some like serious stuff, mm-hmm. like bad stuff.
You're kind of talking about like name the sin, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So you want to actually see how, like, and how often you're looking at this, right? Right. Is this like, you know, once, oh, it's like every month or so I fall. Okay. And another student, it's 2-3 times a day. Like, so you want to gauge mm-hmm. where this student is at. And, but a lot of the principles of what we communicate, it's going to be the same. And a part mm-hmm. of that's identity, yeah. right? Who are you? Are you a Christian? Let's go back there. Let's get back to the gospel. Do you feel remorse over this? Yes. Do you long to be free? Yes. Okay. You're a child. If you're a child of God, this is not who you are. Mm-hmm. We you know, you take them to passages like Romans 6, if you have been raised with Christ,
amen.
Colossians 4, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. You have died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Like, this is not who you are. And he says, verse 5, put to death, therefore, right. based on that reality, what is earthly in you? The first one, sexual immorality, mm-hmm. impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, all those things.
Go to battle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's like, but what Paul does is he says, because you have been raised with Christ, because you have died to that, your life is hidden with him, therefore put all that to death.
Yeah. And Chris, I just think it's such a great reminder that when I've dealt with and handled young men that were true followers of Jesus Christ, I have found that many times their struggle with salvation was deeply tied to the fact that they were dealing with pornography. So they never thought they were saved because they were struggling with pornography.
Yeah.
And I kind of brought it to light for them that is like, hey, you know, you need to first realize that your identity is in Christ. This isn't defining you.
Right.
Let's get that right. And now let's take that identity and the power of the Spirit and the work and our ability now to that you know this that and you know who you are. Let's go to battle with Jesus, not by your own willpower.
Yeah, because that fails every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're gonna fall. You're gonna like you can like almost like anything like you New Year's resolutions like we commit to diets and workout plans.
Yeah.
And the will of our own heart and our spirit, and then we always end up failing because. It gets too hard. Yeah, and overpowered.
Absolutely. And it's again to the church at Corinth. Paul was very clear. If you try to please God in the flesh, you will fail.
Mm-hmm.
It will lead to death. Tim, I want you to share this story. I remember it was right after you came. It might have been right after you came to Calvary. We were out to breakfast, I think, and you were talking about these three guys that you're helping and help. You were like in a little accountability square. Because there was four of you, about porn. And you might, I don't know if you remember, but I remember you asked those guys how they did or whatever, and you had a sweet moment with them about addressing the motive for why they were trying to crush porn. You have no idea, do you?
I know. I remember that time with those young men, but I don't remember all the details of the conversation right now.
I think the crux, and by the way, folks, that's how you know we do this live. the crux of it was they were like their biggest thing was they were gonna their motivation was their future marriages. Their motivation was the way that, you know, leadership in the youth group or something. And you were like, gentlemen, those are all worthwhile. But the biggest thing, your biggest motive is that you're sinning, you've sinned against God.
Right. And I think you started that with us on this podcast, which is mm-hmm. so, yeah. And I do remember that moment and realizing that. That's a hard thing to get people to think that way,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Many times we think we want to be a better person. Mm-hmm. It's got to be, you really got to just realize you got to have a big view of God. I think that's yeah. mm-hmm. one of the statements I've said with students a lot of times is you got to really have a big view. We need to see God as holy and yeah. righteous mm-hmm. yep. and pure and just. And then when we get it, and you start to realize, oh, this sin is terrible. Then we need that identity that comes right. in Jesus Christ.
And that's a beautiful illustration of that is what happened with King David. And,
yeah.
Right. And Nathan came to him
oh,
and said,
yeah.
you're mm-hmm. the man. And then David writes Psalm 51 mm-hmm. and repents, and against you and you only have I sinned.
Yeah. Right. And we could talk about this for a long time, but the other hard reality is that you can go, you know, you can repent and move forward, but there is that reality that consequences can linger a long time.
Yeah.
You need to be real with your students about that too.
Yep.
You may mentally battle with it the rest of your life and have to put guards up. You also may walk away with some issues that are with you that mm-hmm. you carry on that you can grow through, but you may take a long, long time.
Well, a very practical thing that I tell students is common sense mm-hmm. when you fight this. Be smart. And that leads to Romans 13:14. That's exactly why Paul writes that he says, do not make any provision mm-hmm. for your flesh mm-hmm. to fulfill its desires. And mm-hmm. so basically, you know, I've communicated to students, and I had a young man that I was helping with this issue, and he started doing great at this. He found out it was at 3:30 when his mom and dad were not home yet, but he was home from school by himself. So guess what he started doing at 3:30? He started working on a car in a garage mm-hmm. and listening to worship music and praying. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge help for him because it was like, I'm not going to give it an opportunity.
Yeah.
And then when this young man was in high school, he's grown up now, but I remember his parents went away for like 5-6 days. Mm-hmm. And I said, and come on over. And he ended up staying in my house just to, you know, there's things we can do mm-hmm. practically to help mm-hmm. People who are struggling. So that's a practical thing.
Well, yeah. And to just kind of bring this episode to a conclusion, we, all of us here, the reason what we know and where we've grown has come from resources and books. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage everybody too, that if this is new to you, you need to start reading. Mm-hmm. You need to start listening to good podcasts.
Like this one.
or good articles online. Mm-hmm. But a couple books that, two books from myself, Finally Free by Heath Lambert. And then the other one I had, it was Sexual Detox. And I'll get you the author, Sexual Detox by Tim Challies. Were two books. And Sexual Detox is a good one because it's short. It's about 100 pages, and a student can handle that well.
I actually bought, I don't remember the name of it, and I don't think I have it on my shelf. There's a 31-page devotional all about pornography. It was 31 days that they gave you a text and things to meditate on to help you combat that sin. And then another one is The Gospel and Pornography. We'll go ahead and put that in the show notes as well. One final thought for you guys and gals who are ministering to people in this with this issue is emphasizing to them the importance of the church and how community is key. We need to have communion first and foremost with Christ himself. John 15 makes very clear that we're the branches, he's the vine, and if you're not communing with him, you're going to fail. They have to commune with Christ. They have to replace the porn with Jesus. So porn is the idol, Jesus is God, and if you just try to stop porn and don't aggressively seek after Christ, you will never, ever, ever find freedom. Mm-hmm. You must aggressively pursue Jesus, but then also you must do that in community. All right. I heard someone say that the Christian life is a community project, that this is something that we do together. Hebrews 3, very clear that we are to exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. Galatians chapter 6, 1, verse 1, that if any brother is caught in a transgression, we are, those of us who are spiritual, are to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Like, we need the body. So teach that to your students, use this as an opportunity. But we do want to thank you so much for listening to this episode of Another Youth Ministry Podcast. We are thankful for you and your ministry to teenagers. We will pray that God will bless you in your work as you faithfully serve him, teenagers, and their families. Please connect with us on social media. We're on Instagram at Another YM Podcast, or you can email us at another YM podcast at gmail.com. God bless, friends.